Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast, everyone. I am getting closer and closer to my due date with baby Lizzie. And since I have been pre-recording a lot of these episodes and especially the introductions, because I just don't know when she's going to arrive, we'll see when this podcast episode airs, if baby Lizzie is here or not. Check my Instagram. But this week, I kind of saved this episode, even though I've recorded it a little while back, specifically closer to my due date, because it's called What is a Doula? And basically, I sit down with Canadian doula Leela Silver, and she fills us in on what exactly a doula does for a pregnant woman, what the difference is between a midwife and a doula, and just all the different intricacies that I personally wasn't aware of until I became pregnant and I started doing a little bit of research, and even more so after I spoke with Leela, I learned a ton more. I also want to mention that Leela is coming out with a pregnancy care package and pregnancy affirmation cards. So definitely head over to her Instagram page and website, and I'll definitely link all the information in the show notes and check out that information. I know I kind of often refer back and say, oh, I'm going to leave this information in the show notes. So just if you don't know, all you have to do is head over to www.bringyourownkombucha.com, and there's a podcast tab, and then you can just scroll down to whatever episode you are listening to and click on that episode. And when you click on that episode, it will give you a brief background about that podcast episode. And it'll give you all the links, all the information, all the sponsorship information, the promo codes that I include, anything that you can think of that I might have mentioned in the podcast episode, you'll find that information there. So you'll actually also find this information in this week's podcast episode. However, this episode is sponsored by Blooming Lotus Jewelry. If you want to purchase your own Blooming Lotus Jewelry, head over to www.bloominglotusjewelry.com. They have the most amazing mollusk necklaces, and I actually have a matcha coin necklace that I like to wear when I practice yoga. And if you use the code BYOK, you'll score a sweet discount. So be sure to check them out. It's a small shop run by Jennifer, and she is amazing. And without further ado, let's get into this week's episode. Hi, Leela, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be doing this with you.
Of course, I'm so excited to have you on today. I feel like this is like the long-awaited podcast episode that we've been trying to put into motion, and I'm really excited to, I have a million questions for you.
Oh, well, I am here to answer them. I'm happy. Yeah, let's do this.
So why don't you just give a brief background about yourself?
So I am a labor and birth doula. I live in Toronto in Canada, for those who don't know. A doula is a non-medical person, a support person for people going through the whole pregnancy and birth process. There are postpartum doulas as well who help out with the postnatal thing. They help out with, you know, like baby care and stuff, but I am specifically for pregnancy and birth and helping out through that whole process and walking with women through that whole process and helping them to feel empowered and comfortable with everything that's going to be happening, because so many women are scared, and I feel like there's so much fear, and there really doesn't need to be as much as there is. And I want to help calm people's fears and give them that courage that they can do this.
I love that, and I can totally resonate with that, because like we were saying before, I'm 5 months pregnant, and I'm literally terrified of labor, and I know, like, by the time I get to, like, 9 months, I'm going to be like, let's just get this baby out. I'm not going to be as fearful, but, you know, the farther back I am, I'm like, oh, no, labor. This is kind of scary.
Yeah, well, you don't need to be as scared. I know it's normal because it's something you've never done before. It's totally new, but what I always tell my clients and everyone is just knowledge is power. The more you know going into this, the more comfortable and confident you're going to feel, rather than just being thrown into a new environment and care providers telling you this and that. So the most important thing is to just educate yourself and know what you want to happen and fight for what you want.
That's so awesome. So let's jump in and gain some knowledge from you. So what is the difference between a doula and a midwife? And I guess let's throw in a regular medical doctor in there too. Like, what's the difference between the three?
So I get asked this a lot when I tell people that I'm a doula. They say, oh, so like a midwife. And I'm like, no, totally different actually. So a midwife is a medical care provider. So when you're in labor and even leading up to it, they check your cervix, they take vitals, they do all those types of things, like the clinical medical things. And a doula is a non-medical support person. So we, you know, do things like make sure the atmosphere in the room is okay. We keep our eye on the mother, on her energy, and we do whatever we can for her, whether it's getting her food and water and cool cloth and doing massage or the double hip squeeze for contractions and just making sure that she is okay. The doctors and the midwives, they take care of the baby. They do the checks and they check the heart. We're just there for the mother to make sure she's not forgotten about. She's not scared. We are there for you alone.
I love that analogy. I didn't really conceptualize it that way, but the doula is there for the mother. That makes total sense. And my husband and I were actually discussing whether we wanted to go ahead and kind of look for a doula to, you know, guide us through the labor process. And he was like, well, do you need one? And I was like, I would like the support, and I would like somebody who's going to advocate on my behalf when we're, you know what I mean? And who knows what I want, who's able to guide me. I mean, especially when you're, you know, it's a very stressful moment, I would believe, when you're going through labor. So it would be really nice to have somebody who's there, knows what I want, you know, can really help advocate and work with me through that process.
Exactly. And we help you make decisions as well, rather than if a doctor comes in and they say, oh, we want to do this procedure or whatever. We help you to make decisions for yourself. And a great way to do that is the BRAIN acronym. I have a post on my site about that. And the BRAIN, it stands for B is benefits, R is risk, alternative, intuition, and nothing. So it's a tool to help you decide, a decision-making tool, basically. So let's say you're laboring for a few hours and maybe you're not progressing as much as the doctors want, and they say, oh, we want to give you Pitocin to help speed this up, rather than saying, oh, I don't know what that is, okay, do whatever you think is best. We help you to advocate for yourself by asking questions and learning more and saying, okay, what are the benefits of doing this? What are the risks? Are there any alternatives to doing Pitocin? Intuition is important because I feel like a mother's intuition is almost always right. You know your body, you know your baby, and you know what's best for you. So you have to always consult that as well. And nothing is for, what if we just hold off for a little bit? What if you come back in an hour and you ask that again? So yeah, there's lots of decision making that goes into it, and having a doula definitely helps you to feel more confident in this.
Now, how do you get certified to become a doula?
So there's a lot of online organizations. I think there's a few in-person ones too, but none that are were too close to me. So I did it through an organization called CAPA, which is Childbirth and Postpartum Association. It was an online course that took me about 3 years to complete. I did get a few extensions for that because, you know, life gets in the way, and when you're doing an online thing, you can kind of let it slip past you a little bit. So it took 3 years. It was tough. There was an in-person training as well. I did have to do an intensive weekend of the childbirth prep, and I had to go to some childbirth classes and breastfeeding classes and learn everything and all the books you had to read. And then there were actual births that I had to attend, and I had to get like the doctor and a nurse and the parents to like sign a little sheet that said that I was there and I was helpful. And then at the end of, once I had all of these things and did the online essay and exam, I had to send in the whole package to headquarters. And then last year I actually got my certification in the mail. That was last April, I think, and that was a really exciting day.
Wow, so you've been doing this for a whole year now.
Yeah, so the first birth I attended for my certification was back in 2015, and I've been fully certified for a year.
That's amazing. And yeah. Is that what you do? Are you a doula full-time?
I'm not full-time. It is sort of tough to find clients sometimes. I have a few different ways, but the last birth I attended was in December. So I'm still always looking for new clients, and I'm also trying to grow the business in other ways too, and just finding out new ways that I can help mothers and pregnant women.
So I would also imagine that what comes along with that territory is kind of just, you need to make sure that the mother and the doula are kind of on the same page. You need somebody that you're going to click with, and at least that's how I would feel. I would want somebody that definitely I would feel so comfortable with. So when me and my husband are looking for a doula, what do you recommend? What kind of questions do we ask? Like, how do we get to know them? What would be some of your like tips?
Yeah, so the most important thing is finding someone that you do click with and that you have that vibe with. So that's why the prenatal meetings are so important. Whenever I meet with a client, we always have that like first free consultation where you just meet in a coffee shop or wherever and you talk and see if you like each other and if you kind of like have that vibe going. And then there's a few more meetings before the actual birth where you get more and more comfortable with each other. But yeah, when you're just looking for a doula, I would ask her what her birth philosophy is. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but basically how she views birth. And it doesn't even have to be exactly the same as how you view birth, just as long as she doesn't force her opinions on you at all, you know, because mm-hmm. It's about you. And any good doula knows to give non-judgmental, unbiased support and to do whatever the couple wants, whatever the parents want, and we support you 100%. But if you get a doula and she's like, oh, I really want you to have a home birth and a bathtub and do this, blah, 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 it's like, okay, well, maybe we don't want to do that. So it's important to find someone who's going to advocate for you and do what you want to do and not make it about herself at all.
100%. And with that being said, I think there's also a little bit of a misconception behind a doula, at least from my end. I didn't realize that you could have a doula with you in the hospital setting. You could have a doula with you at home. You can have a doula with you at a birth center. No matter where you are, that doula will follow you, will work with you. It's not just for somebody who wants to give labor in a bathtub or, you know, whatever that may be, whatever you, like you're saying, whatever your birth plan may be.
Exactly. Yes. That is the big misconception. People are like, oh, well, I don't want to have a home birth with no drugs and or like in a forest. It's like, no, we help you no matter what. Like a couple of my clients have had C-sections. A couple of my clients have had epidurals. A couple have had totally natural births. One was a water birth. It's whatever you want. We are there to support you.
So what are like some typical things that you do to help support your clients when they're pregnant?
So when they're pregnant, we have a few prenatal meetings, and that's every doula offers a different amount. I offer up to three. It depends on what the parents' needs are. It depends if it's their first child or not. I've had a couple clients who it was like their third and they pretty much knew what to do, but they just wanted the experience to be a bit different. So we do things like create a birth plan, or as I like to say, birth wish list, because you cannot guarantee anything that's going to happen. You can have everything set in stone how you want to have it, and things can go totally different than how you think they will. So that's why I say birth wish list, because it's like, this is ideally what we would like to happen when it happens. So I help parents go over that and determine what they want, how they feel about things.
And can I just stop you right there? Because I think I want to explore the topic of like birth plans a little bit more.
Yeah.
Especially because like I myself haven't fully determined what our birth plan is going to be just yet. What does a birth plan consist of? Like, aside from like the obvious, like where you want to give birth, like what else do you need to consider when you're kind of mapping out your birth wish list for new moms?
So with my clients, I split it into a few different sections. There's the pre-birth, like leading up to the labor, and then there's the labor section, and then post-delivery. And then you just get as specific as you can, and you say, okay, leading up to labor, do you want your care provider to do vaginal checks every time? Do you want them to sweep your membranes at all to maybe get the prostaglandins going to help ripen the cervix? Or you can choose to do none of that and have it be non-invasive. You want to just let your body do what it's meant to do, not interfere. For labor, there's a lot, as you can imagine. There's even down to specifics like the lighting in the room, and having a doula for that is a very good thing, because the doula always makes sure that, you know, the lights are how you want it, which like dim is good rather than bright, harsh lights, and that the door is closed and that you have privacy and you feel comfortable. And if you want to, you know, bring photos from home or a blanket or pillow, things that make you feel comfortable and safe. Obviously things like where you want to give birth, what position you want to give birth in. And we fight for that. We make sure that you get your ideal birth, pretty much. We try to stick to the plan. Sometimes the plan does not go to plan, so we try to figure that out, try to make it work as best as it can work.
That's funny, because it's funny that you're saying, like, oh, you can have your favorite blanket or things like that, because every time, like, me and my husband are, like, driving in the car and, like, a really, like, fun song that we like comes on, or just like a song that we're both like, you know, jamming out to or whatever, I'll be like, oh, let's put this on the music list. And he's like, yeah, you're crazy. I'm like, I don't know if I'm really serious or not, but I have it like in the back of my head.
Yeah, definitely. Having a playlist, like having music, is really great, because it's a distraction, right, for one thing. And also it just, you know, sets the mood, the atmosphere. And it can be anything you want. It could be music that makes you really happy, or it can just be ocean waves if you find that soothing and relaxing. It could be late night jazz. One of my clients used that, and it just helped her to like relax a little bit, you know?
Have you had like any weird requests, or like heard of any like weird requests for the birth plans?
I wouldn't say any weird requests. I also don't know what you mean by weird.
I know.
Everyone is different.
That's probably like mean of me to say weird, but I just mean like out of the ordinary. Cause I, at least like, you know, my friends and family, they've all delivered in the typical like hospital setting. They didn't have a doula. It was just very, you know, standard. So I'm just interested in hearing like all the different varieties of options are when it comes to birth plans, like the whole blanket, the whole music, and this really isn't part of the birth plan, but the other day, I guess I was, like, reading one of my prenatal books, and they were saying, like, oh, you can actually bring, like, clothes to the hospital to put on your baby right away, because, like, the clothes that they put on your baby from the hospital have already been used and washed, and you don't know if the detergents were, you know, full of toxins, and, I mean, this is, like, going on and on, but I just didn't realize that there were that many things to think about prior to getting to the hospital.
There is a lot to think about, that's for sure. But also, it's all extra stuff. You could just as easily just, like, not do anything and go to the hospital one day and just pop out a baby and that's it. But it's, honestly, it's, I keep saying this, but it's the more you know, it's the more knowledge that you have that makes you feel empowered about it. And yeah, you can totally put that on the birth plan that you're going to bring the baby's first clothes and that you're going to do anything that you want. And make sure your care provider knows your plans, bring a copy of the birth wish list and tell them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this happen.
So kind of getting back to the pregnancy aspect, especially for those women who may be listening and they're not pregnant yet or they're in the early stages of pregnancy, what are some tips that they should be doing? So I guess in regards to vitamins, in regards to working out, and like what to expect.
Basically just getting your body into the best shape that you can. It doesn't have to be an amazing, like you're totally on this certain specific diet and you are a marathon runner and all of this. Like, it's just eliminating like the worst things. If you're a heavy smoker or drinker, maybe stop doing those things for a little bit. Let your system clear out and start taking prenatal vitamins. And if you can, take folate, which is very, very important. But be sure you get a natural folate supplement. Erica and I actually wrote a post about this a while ago. I think it was last year, about the whole folate and then the methyl folate and that gene, that mutation that you could have, and why it's important to take a natural folate supplement.
And I guess in regards to working out, because I don't know, I feel even a little hesitation myself when I work out. I make sure I don't push myself like crazy. I don't, like, when I go for my runs, I don't track how long I go or how far I'm running. I just kind of run. And then if once I, you know that my body's tired, then I stop. I don't, whereas normally I would be like, oh, I'm like shy of 3 miles, let me keep going, you know. I just kind of listen to my body for that reason. But are there any like workouts that pregnant women should stray away from or be careful with, or any specific, like, you know, any specific workouts?
Basically, if you are, you should keep at the same level that you were at before you got pregnant. So if you're used to running or doing like pretty intense workouts, like, it is still safe to do that. Maybe ease up on the intensity a little, but you definitely don't want to do more than what you were doing before you got pregnant. It is good to listen to your body, know when to stop. I wouldn't recommend any type of jumping, any like really high intensity cardio that has you like jumping and bouncing and doing that. Like, that one you might want to take a little bit easier. Yoga is great. Prenatal yoga is amazing, but with that you have to shy away from inversion poses and a lot of really intense twists. Just take it easy, gentle. Remember that you are growing something very delicate inside of you, but your body is also really strong and amazing, and it will be safe. Just have to trust your body.
No, that totally resonates with me. I totally agree with that. I was actually doing Pure Barre for a while, which I know you also work at a Pure Barre studio, right?
Yes, I work at Barre Works. It's just a bar studio in Toronto. I work at the front desk there, so that's really amazing. And a few of the clients there are pregnant, so it's fun to watch them come in every day and see them get bigger and bigger and talk to them about it. And yeah, they still keep up with the classes and they just make modifications based on what they are able to do. And if you are working with a trainer or a bar instructor or anyone, let them know that you're pregnant and they will show you modifications and they make sure that you don't do anything that would be harmful.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. So back to what you were saying before, I'm sorry because I interrupted you on my tangent. What else do you do with your clients who are newly pregnant and you're just kind of walking them through everything?
Right. So it's about, mostly, again, it's about educating them and it's making sure that they feel confident in their ability to give birth and that they have enough knowledge that they feel confident and comfortable going into the situation. I have a whole lending library of books that I encourage my clients to borrow and read and find out the most that they can about it that will help them.
What kind of book, which books do you recommend? Like if you had to recommend 5 books for a newly pregnant woman to read, what would you recommend?
The number one best book that I recommend to everyone, even family members, everyone who gets pregnant, is called The Birth Partner by Penny Simpkin. And I just feel it is the most comprehensive birth companion book. It's called The Birth Partner. It's for dads and doulas, but also really any expectant parent. It breaks down everything so clearly and concisely. It goes through the different phases and stages of labor, different labor positions, different things to expect, and it's brilliant. I would recommend that to anyone. The Ina May Gaskin books, like Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, is a really good one too. Some people are a little iffy about her because she is kind of this like hippy dippy midwife, but she does have a lot of knowledge. She's a very smart lady. It just may not be everyone's cup of tea, but I think she's great. But yeah, definitely The Birth Partner. I think that is like most comprehensive, best book out there.
Do you have any like go-to blogs or websites or podcasts when it comes to pregnancy information and education?
Yeah, there's a couple great podcasts, actually. Let me just open up my podcast. I've forgotten what it's called. Sorry, just one second.
No, that's totally okay. I'm actually going to download them as we speak right now.
What was it called? Oh, The Birth Hour. Yeah, so The Birth Hour. And one second. Sorry, you can edit this part out.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. And I think I just want to make sure that this is the right one. Yes, Birthful. So Birth, F-U-L, it's one word, it's Birthful. And I find that one really great as well. Those are like the two best ones out there. I find that there weren't too many birthy podcasts out there, and I was like, I feel like the market might be needing another one.
Ooh, might be something you need to look into.
That's definitely an idea I've been thinking about for a little bit, so we'll see where that goes. But yeah, right now those two are really good.
Now what about for husbands? I feel like it's funny because when I got pregnant and I started reading my mother-to-be book, my husband was like, do you want me to read anything? Like, just tell me what to do, you know? And like, I looked up a bunch of father-to-be books and none of them really resonated with me. And I felt like they were, for lack of a better term, like kind of like jokes. They were just like purely comical. They weren't like really informative. Yeah. So do you have any, book recommendations or just any educational recommendations for fathers?
So definitely The Birth Partner, because it says right in the title it's for dads and doulas and any support person. But yeah, that one, it speaks directly to dads and it helps them know how to best help their partner through every single stage. And honestly, just go to a childbirth class. Go to one of those prep classes. I think there are some intensive ones. Whatever hospital you're going to be giving birth at, they should offer a childbirth course. It'll either be an intensive or it will be like a 4 or 6 week thing and you go like one night a week for however many weeks. And I feel like that definitely gives the dad a little bit more confidence and it teaches them just something that they don't really know much about because why would they, right?
Now, what about hospital settings versus giving birth at a birth center? Like, what is the difference between the two?
So, at a birth center, it's specifically for giving birth in. It's not if you are a high risk and if you may need a C-section because they can't perform them there. They don't have, at least where I live, I cannot speak completely about every single birth center in the world, but as far as I know, it's not surgical at all. It's just for having your baby and then leaving a few hours afterwards because you feel good and you're ready to go. They can't give epidurals there. I think the only thing they can do for pain relief is the nitrous oxide, the gas. So it's good for if you are a low-risk pregnancy, if it's totally healthy and you know you want to give birth either naturally, like unmedicated or with the gas, as opposed to a hospital where you have every single option under the sun. Some people would feel more comfortable at a birth center. I like to think that it's like a happy medium between home and hospital. Because home, you have nothing. You have just whatever the midwife can bring. In a hospital, you have every single thing that you could imagine, but it's a hospital. It's not the coziest setting. So I like the idea of the birth center if you feel comfortable going there, if you think that you won't need a lot of interventions. I think the birth center is a really good medium.
Now let's switch topics just a tad bit and chat about informed consent, since you really stress this to your clients. And can you just enlighten us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so informed consent, that's, again, the whole thing with the more knowledge you have, the better, and using the BRAIN acronym to help you make decisions. If you're giving birth and something is truly an emergency, there's not going to be a question. The doctors will just immediately do what they need to do to save a life. But if they come to you and they're like, oh, we want to do this procedure, like, and they try to really push you for it, and you know, like, flat out, like, you do not want to do it, you don't have to do it. There are actually laws about this and human rights codes. Your care provider should always inform you of everything. They should advise you about what to do, and they should support your decision no matter what. Do not let any care provider bully you into thinking you need to do something if it's against your better judgment.
Now, is there, like, can you give us an example of a situation, just because I've never been in labor before and I just can't even wrap my head around a situation just because I haven't been in it yet. So can you just, like, walk us through an example?
So a big thing that you might hear sometimes, hopefully you won't hear it, but doctors do like to throw around the words failure to progress. And that means...
That's a scary thing to hear.
Don't be scared of it. Don't be scared, because the more you know, the better you'll feel. Failure to progress is when you are not dilating fast enough for their liking. Now, when you're in a hospital, doctors pretty much want you in and out as fast as possible. And we all know birth can take as long as it needs to take. It can also take as short as it needs to take. It can happen in 2 hours or it can happen in 2 days. Hopefully it's closer to the shorter one. But they like to see you dilate a centimeter an hour. But for anyone who's attended a birth knows that it doesn't always go that fast. So if you're not dilating as quickly as they want you to, they might be like, okay, so we see you've been here for a few hours and you're only, let's say, 3 centimeters dilated. We want to give you some Pitocin, except they'll call it oxytocin. Your body naturally produces oxytocin, and Pitocin is the medical one that it's synthetic. It doesn't pass the blood-brain barrier, so it's different than what your body naturally produces. And there are ways to make your body produce more oxytocin. It's the love hormone. So, you know, like hugging and kissing and snuggling and nipple stimulation, those can help you produce that. But once you introduce Pitocin, it works really well, but not in the way that you might always want it to. It makes contractions come on twice as strong, which is why a lot of people get epidurals after that. So if you're only 3 centimeters dilated and it's not quite at the point yet where it's going to happen really fast, they may give you Pitocin and then they may give you an epidural because the contractions are so, so painful. And then because you're only at 3, the epidural makes it so you can't feel your legs, right? So you have to stay in bed and you're not able to walk around and dilate even faster. So you might be, quote unquote, failing to progress. Now, if you had waited a little bit longer, Yeah, so let's say they do this and you use the brain acronym and you say, okay, so what if we wait a little bit longer? What if we wait another hour to walk around a little bit, try to open up your hips, do some squatting, try to make yourself dilate even faster? Then you could skip the Pitocin, you can skip the epidural, even just for now, you can still get it later, but when it's still, you're still only a few centimeters dilated, the epidural might not work as well as you want it to. So that is a good time to use your informed consent and to know that you don't have to do what the doctors are telling you to do. If it's an emergency, they will just do it no matter what.
So interesting. I feel like that's so important for, you know, mothers to be to hear, because it really is important. And I guess, I mean, literally what you've been saying this whole time is just education is so powerful. It's so important. And it's really the key to navigating your labor, you know, in the way that you, fingers crossed, want it to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Now I have one last question for you. Mm-hmm. And no episode can conclude without me asking this, and that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
So, let's see, flavor-wise, I really like, you know, like light, summery, like citrusy type kombuchas. There's a place really close to where I work called The Village Juicery, and they have kombuchas on tap. And it's such a lovely summertime drink. I don't drink it as much in the wintertime because I feel like it's more of a summer drink. But when I get it in the summer, there's this one, I think it's called the Witch's Brew, actually. And it just, there's rose petals on top and there's like some citrus in it. And it's just, oh, it's so lovely.
Oh my gosh, it sounds magical.
Yeah, you should come to Toronto sometime and have it.
Absolutely. So where can everybody find you on social media?
So on social media, my Instagram is silverbirthdoula, and my website is www.silverbirth.com.
And I think that's it, right? You said Instagram, website. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, my Facebook page. I think it's also, I'm just going to check it. I'm pretty sure it's Silver Birth Doula. I'm just going to confirm it's either Silver Birth or Silver Birth Doula. Doula is spelled D-O-U-L-A, for anyone who doesn't know. Silver Birth Doula Services is my Facebook. So go give that a like if you like.
And definitely check out her website because she has tons of really great information about pregnancy and controversial topics that are discussed. And it's really resourceful. And thank you for coming on the website, on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It was so great finally getting to talk to you.
You as well.
Yes.